What's up, Chicago? Guess what? It is Wednesday, July the 13th, 2016. And Taking Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We have an awesome show for you on today. Today, man, I got two guests for y'all. It might be my last day on the air because they might get me put off. But I got two guests in the studio today that's going to be joining me in about a good 10 minutes or so. Man, straight out of the community, man, and I love these brothers because I love what they're doing. So I got a good friend of the show, George Jody. Just call him Jody. Jody Beatty is in the studio, and also his buddy. Oh, Lord, met this brother a few weeks back, man, and he's on fire, so that's why I got him in here, Lewis Chamberlain. Now, if y'all get on, let me tell y'all something right now. I'm going to be the smallest dude in here because these two dudes, I should have got some bigger chairs. Y'all know we just bought these chairs, so if y'all break my chairs, y'all going to owe me a couple dollars. Y'all come over here sitting there. Just want to put that out there now. Anyway, but look, check this out. Let me give y'all the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you're already listening on the line and you've already dialed in, you just push 1 and you can come in with your questions and your comments. If you want to call into the show, simply dial area code 347-934-0546, area code 347-934-0546, and you can also be a part of the show. If you're on social media, so are we, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio, and you can be a part of the show as well. If you want to tweet the show, Twitter handle is @TTLO Radio. Again, that Twitter handle is @TTLO Radio, and you can be a part of the show there. We'd love to read your tweet on the air. Email, you want to email the show, email takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Email the show. We'd be glad to read that email over the air. Ustream, you can watch the show. Right now, Ustream is up and running. Go to Ustream.tv, Ustream.tv, do a search for the channel Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Once again, that's Ustream.tv, and do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. And if you hit the subscribe button there, it's also free of charge. You can always catch the show, and then you'll automatically have the link every time the show goes live there. And last but not least, iTunes. If you have an iTunes account, all y'all with these iPhones, y'all got iTunes, you can simply go to your podcast section, do a search for Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon, hit the subscribe button, and you will get every show, that's every podcast, immediately after the show is over, that updated show will download into your library, and you can listen to it and share it with your friends and tell your friends about the show. So that's what we got. And I'm a little excited about what's going on. So, look, let me go over some stuff with y'all real quick, some stuff that happened in the news yesterday. So I don't know if y'all noticed or not. You know, we try to keep up with everything. So Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were both in Chicago yesterday, both of them. They both were in Chicago yesterday, and Hillary was here, and Bernie Sanders officially endorsed her yesterday because, you know, he lost. So he saw it wasn't a way he could win. So now, you know, neither one of them want Trump in office. And if you're crazy, you really don't want Trump in office. Unless you're crazy, you don't want Trump in office either. Now, I ain't saying who you should vote for, but I'm just letting you know, I don't like using the word the lesser of two evils, but I know a fool when I see one. And Donald J. Trump is a fool. And if y'all decide y'all want to put that fool in office, I'm telling y'all right, you think it's bad now in this country? And think about it like this. Do you really want somebody who has no self-control, who will say anything? And I know I'm the last person to say some stuff, but, you know, I'm in a different realm than Donald Trump. You know, I don't I don't influence countries when I talk. But if Donald Trump is our president and he decides to go off the handle and say the wrong thing to the wrong person in the wrong meeting, we are all of a sudden in World War III or World War IV. Y'all do know that, right? So what I'm saying is, and then, do you really want this button, this dude in charge of the button? You know what button I'm talking about, right? The one that launches the missile. Do you really want this clown? Because you could wake up tomorrow and walk out your house and you don't see nothing but a smokestack. Because this fool might get either he will be the one to push the button or he will get somebody else to push the button against us. So you need somebody with some diplomacy in there, and hopefully Hillary doesn't have enough time to get our stuff together. I'm just saying. I ain't telling you who to vote for. I'm just telling you to do your due diligence and get it together. The other thing, I don't know if you saw this morning on the news. I like to give y'all a little bit of everything. You know, Tom Brady's still trying to sue about this Deflategate mess, you know, because he cheated with the deflated football and He got suspended, then they lifted the suspension, then he got resuspended, then they lifted the suspension. Then he got, so now he tried to go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court was like, nah, bro, we ain't hearing it. So that four games going to stand. Them four games going to stand. He got one more shot. He's going to try to take it to the U.S. Supreme. He's going to try to take it all the way to D.C., but I doubt if they're going to hear this mess because, once again, we finna spend all this time and all this money. Y'all don't even know how much money they spent, how many millions of dollars they spent trying to determine whether or not somebody knew about a football weighing less than it was supposed to. Exactly. So I don't even know what to tell y'all on that one. But look here. So that's pretty much that. And I'm gonna have my producer. She gonna do it before she get it, whatever. I saw what National Food Day it was today. And it's kind of important that we discuss this at some point before we get off the air because, you know, we have these days. I know we skipped them for a while, but a couple of them was bad anyway because National Muffin Day or whatever it was, and nobody want that mess. But I saw what today's day was. I saw that. So we're going to make sure we get on that today because I might need some of whatever today's food day is because I'm feeling that in my spirit. So we're going to have to go ahead and get on that. I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready for it. So this should be a good one. Last but not least, there's a lot of stuff that's still going on, and I'm going to give you the subject, and then when I take a break, I'm going to let the fellas chime in on it. We are in the process of two anniversaries today. One is the one-year anniversary of Sandra Bland being killed in jail down in Texas. And then the second one is 2 years ago today, we got the not guilty verdict for Trayvon Martin killing. I didn't even realize that until I saw it online this morning. A year ago today, Sandra Bland died in jail. 2 years ago today, George Zimmerman was found not guilty. So I'm just going to leave that there. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, okay? All right, so look, y'all, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to get Facebook Live. It'll be up and running in a minute once I get these brothers on. I'm going to have them come up and sit up, and we're going to have a conversation. Some of y'all already know George. Y'all going to get to learn who Lewis is, so y'all pray for us, okay? Y'all pray for Lewis now. I'm going to y'all just go up in prayer right now. Touch your radio wherever you at. Put some oil on your computer screen. Put some oil on your phone. Y'all just pray, okay? All right. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'll be joined by these two gentlemen, George Jody Beatty and Lewis Chamberlain, y'all. So y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO. We'll be right back.
Well, when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company. amazing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back. We are back. We are back live in the studio. And if you did not know, I ain't going to read the whole bio. I still got his bio from last time, but he's not a stranger to the show. These two cats. Everybody won't be on live. Like all y'all got to do is share the one I tagged you in. Anyway, these two cats in the studio. Right now, man, both of these brothers, I met George a few years back, last year, and I didn't think about it. It's almost been a year in August. It'll be a year since you've been on the show, either August or July, one of the two, since you're on the show. But I met George during the community events outside, actually with 100 Blocks, 100 Churches. Met this brother, man, and saw what he was doing with our youth, which is a big, big thing that we need to work on, man. Saw this brother, so he's with the Stop the Violence, and also with Jehovah Jireh One Ministries. And, man, I just wanted to have that brother, build a relationship with his brother. So I talked to this dude, and I'm excited about what he does in the community. Also, didn't meet him last year because I don't know if he was out there or not last year. No, okay, so make sure I get y'all some sound over there. Hold on. All right, yeah. Yeah, now I can hear you. So, yeah, I'm going to do like you do my boy. Speak up, brother. met this brother Lewis this year, man, and he's out here on fire too, man. And it's just good to see some brothers actually in the community out doing something that's positive and having a real effect on what's going on. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you all, my good friend George Jody Beatty. And my new buddy, Mr. Lewis Chamberlain. Y'all go ahead and welcome them to the show. Man, what's going on, George?
Nothing much, man. Just excited about what God is doing in my life.
Okay, that's good. That's good. And Lewis, can you?
Absolutely, I'm excited about what God's doing in my life.
I'm going to need you to pull that mic, too. Just pull it, too. There you go. All right, now we good. Because you're comfortable. Because he laid back like he in the cut, though. Y'all don't even see the brother over here.
I'm chilling.
Yeah, he is right now, but I ain't mad. Anyway, so check this out. For the people who don't know, George, then you sit back. I was just messing with you. Relax. No, make yourself. No, this ain't that type of show. No, you could. For the people who don't know, George, tell us, remind us of your story and growing up real quick. You can give us the Reader's Digest version. You ain't got to
go. Growing up on the west side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
In a gang banging, selling drugs, you know, and things was, you know, getting out of hand. You get well known in the streets, and you know, you begin to climb up in the ranks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I end up catching a case,
mm-hmm.
and supposedly did 60 years in a penitentiary.
60.
But the grace of God saved me.
Wow.
For a time such as this,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I had got involved in the church and reading the Bible and learn how to fast and pray, and he delivered me from my situation.
Mm-hmm.
So as I grew older, at the time I became a part of Gospel Truth Life Changes Ministries,
okay.
which is now the Word Works Church. My pastor is Bishop Jeffrey Davis,
mm-hmm.
and co-pastor Pastor Jackie Davis,
mm-hmm.
and began to grow,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they fed me spiritually.
Okay.
And then the Lord sent me back into the streets.
Mm-hmm.
He blessed me with this ministry, Jehovah Jireh Number One Outreach Ministry, which is a safe haven for the youth.
Okay.
And that's where we at now.
All right. So for the people who don't know, my buddy on the end down there, you know, Mr. Laid Back over here, smooth, I'm calling him a smooth criminal in a minute. But do it and cut over there. What's going on with you, Lewis? Tell the people something about yourself, man.
All right. Well, I was born and raised in Maywood, Illinois.
Maywood?
Yeah.
All right.
I gang banged. I sold drugs. I, you know, moved up in the ranks, and it's kind of like no difference from the city.
Yeah, it ain't.
And, but I have, the reason I'm involved in this movement is because of experience, something that I experienced personally, myself. And I've been involved with situations with cricket cops and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Being falsely accused, falsely incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took me some time to get over that. But
mm-hmm.
during the time
mm-hmm.
of my incarceration,
mm-hmm.
all my friends that I used to be surrounded with, I lost them all while I was incarcerated.
Wow.
So I stopped complaining. I asked God, I told him I would stop complaining about it, because if I wasn't incarcerated, I would have been there with him.
Wow.
So in my journey, I happened to meet Jody, and I joined the church with him and Pastor Jeffrey Davis, and I talked to Jody about the movement. He made me understand why he's doing this movement, and it fell right in line with me and what I want to do. So I'm happy to be by his side and give it my 100%.
Man,
so look here, y'all. Let me tell you. So give us, and I'm glad I didn't ask you to do it, but I figured you would. I'm glad you wore the shirt. The Stop the Violence. Tell us about the Stop the Violence or group organization y'all do.
Well, first of all, I couldn't do it without my volunteers.
Right.
And all my volunteers are ex-gang members.
Okay.
You know, a lot of them is called the area we call Capitol Hill, and I thank God for them because they put their all in.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do, we come together and we show the community love.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out, and we have to come together as men.
Mm-hmm.
And once we respect each other and other people see it, it draws other men to us, or other people to us, because they want to come over and see what we're doing.
Okay.
So what we do, we grab industry corner, and we pass out hot dogs, popcorn, water.
Right.
We offer prayer.
Right.
We have any information for getting kids back in school, jobs, any information we get, we pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like the tool to build a community up.
Okay.
And we also want to build a bridge with the police officers. Now, I understand there's a big thing going on with the police officers. You have bad cops and you have good cops. Okay? It's just like you have bad people and you have good people.
Okay. I'm glad you went there. I'm glad you went there, because we were going to get there eventually, but since you went there early, we'll just go there. So we have a relationship with the 15th District.
Yes.
Mainly, because that's our base.
Right.
Your organization pretty much hits every corner in the 15th when something happens. You go other places, but the 15th is home.
Yes, home.
15th is home for us. That's where my show is. That's where my church is. That's home. So you built relationships with the previous commander, Barbara West, when she was there before she left. Very good, by the way. Very good. She was active, and it was kind of upsetting, actually, when she left. But then we're building relationships now with Commander Bex.
Yes.
Who's out there, and I have to say, he's involved. He wants things to change. You made two good points about there being bad cops, but also bad people. Help us, because maybe you can go to places and get to people that everybody else can't get to. People will come and talk to you before they would talk to a police officer. They may even talk to you before they talk to me.
Yeah.
Okay. So. You mentioned something about respect.
Yes.
About respecting the person, regardless of gang banging or not, just respecting them as a man or a boy or whoever, or respecting them as a human being.
Right.
Where do we start the conversation with the young brothers that's out on the corner to get them to recognize that what they're doing currently is not going to help them succeed in any way? How does that conversation start?
First, you have to build a relationship up with them
before you can even go.
Before you can even do that, to get them to trust you.
So how do we start that?
What we're doing now.
Okay.
Being available for them.
Ah, that's
reaching
it.
Out to them. Okay. Showing them love.
Okay.
That's just like if a young man walked down the street and you say, "Hey, bro, how you doing? I'm doing okay. Have a safe day." Okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So next time he see you, he might beat you to it. "Hey, bro. Hey, big homie, what's up? Hey, what's up?"
Yeah.
You know, so the thing is, you have to build a relationship up with them, and then respect them. But then you also have to let them know, you have to draw that line. You're not going to disrespect me.
Yeah.
You know, and then it'll gradually grow.
Mm-hmm.
So you just see, a lot of people think they can just come in the streets because they're elders and see a young person
and say anything.
And say anything to them. Those days out the window now. you know what I mean? I'm just being honest. Those days out the window.
It also play a part with you being from where they've been, like you've been already.
Yeah.
You can relate.
Yeah, you can relate. And if you notice since I've been out there on Central Madison, Bio's been consistent.
Yeah.
I can see the change in the people that comes around there.
That's true.
So
that's true.
You got to be consistent with them.
Okay, so let's move to the issue. And again, y'all, this is I got George Bailey and Lewis Chamberlain on my guest today on Taking Limits Off Radio. So let's talk about this whole thing, because one of the things, I don't know if you saw, you might have been watching, I don't know if you saw, but you know, I had last week Friday, right after everything went down in Dallas and the other two shootings that happened prior to the police being shot, I had originally asked my uncle to come on, who's a retired state trooper, and he was on. I think you were watching that day, and he was giving some conversation about what happens when you get pulled over by the police and how you should respond and, you know, don't be anxious and,
right,
you know, doing all that. And got a lot of good feedback from that. So let me ask you this question. In our community, because you see it probably more than anybody else, when do we start to take ownership? This was the conversation that came up on Monday. When do we start to take ownership? Before we start talking about what the government ain't doing, what the police doing, when do we start to take ownership for our own faults, the stuff that we doing wrong first?
We should have been started taking ownership.
Okay,
you got to be held accountable for your actions.
Okay.
Because what we have to understand, for every action is a reaction.
Yeah, good
or
bad.
And this is the problem. This is the big main problem. A lot of times when kids do something, youth do something,
mm-hmm,
okay, let's just use this for example.
Mm-hmm.
If a police officer stop a young man,
mm-hmm,
and he didn't do anything wrong.
Okay.
Okay, we're a protest. We're supposed to protest. I mean, if the police officer is wrong, we need to make sure justice is done.
If he stopped him for no reason.
For no reason,
right,
at all. But I'm saying, if little JoJo got a pistol in his pocket,
okay,
and gets stopped,
right,
and then resists arrest,
right,
and his action calls a reaction, then we go out and we protest. So it's saying to the next person, it's okay for us to ride around with this gun. It's okay if we get called, the police do something for us. But guess what? We got a city. We got a nation standing behind us. So when are they going to wake up and be held accountable for their own actions? Okay, I got caught with this gun. I'm a big boy. Let,
mm-hmm,
me do this time I got to do,
mm-hmm,
and get out the way.
Mm. Okay, so since you went there, and you jump in when you're ready,
okay,
but since you went there, okay, you know, that's part of the background story with the Sterling guy in Louisiana, because,
mm-hmm,
he had a gun on him. And legally in this country, and I did the research, you can't own a handgun if you're a convicted felon. You're not supposed to have a handgun.
Right.
So they're saying that not, and again, not justifying the shooting. So y'all don't send me no messages about that with that mess. I ain't justifying him being killed, but I understand why he may have resisted somewhat, because he recognized once they frisk me, I'm in trouble. Because I'm going to jail. Ain't no getting around it. Ain't no, they ain't gonna just take it from me and let me go. That's just, it just ain't gonna happen.
Right.
So let's talk about from the standpoint of, we're out on Central and Madison, right?
Right.
Okay, so we're out on Central and Madison. And I don't know if you saw this last week, we were out there on Central and Madison. You saw the police drove up on the curb.
Yeah.
Because all their homies,
yeah,
were standing on across the street, right in front of Uncle Remus,
right,
and the liquor store. Because,
yeah,
it's two businesses right next door to each other.
Right.
Should we be mad at the homies for standing in front of the store, or should we be mad at the store owner for allowing it to happen?
It's a catch 22.
Okay.
Okay, because we could be mad at the store owners from letting them have it,
mm-hmm,
but what else do they have? Where can they go?
Okay. They got homes. They got houses.
Okay.
They got apartments. They got
what I'm saying. We all got homes.
Okay.
But when you want to come outside,
okay,
like for instance, we used to have Emmett Field House, right?
Yeah.
It's closed down.
Okay.
So they don't hang now.
Okay.
So
go to the park.
Yeah, go to the park.
I'm just saying, like, you got a big, Columbus Park is huge.
Yeah, it's
but
huge.
You can't hang out at the park because what? You can't cross the line.
That's what I'm saying.
Go ahead, Louis.
No, I don't think it should be cool for them to hang there.
Exactly.
No,
they shouldn't hang there.
It's a place of business.
Right.
And nobody want to come. What if you ain't from around and you wanted some chicken? You come in, you've been hearing about this Uncle Remus place, and you come up there and you see 10 to 12
dudes,
guys just hanging out there.
They're
not going
to
come in there.
They need a place to go.
Okay,
and that's what
it's wrong from the being there. And then, you know what make it worse? They changed the law now.
The what? The
police, you know how they used to come and tell you the move and,
uh-huh,
do all this stuff? They're not supposed to do that anymore.
Well, no, obviously, loitering is still against the law.
Now the problem is we don't enforce it because we don't want it. We don't want the backlash of they're profiling us. But dude, if you stand in front of and this is why I asked you the question, because at what point do we hold? And I'm gonna ask her because we invited her to be on the show. And I'm thank you, Pastor Park. You'd be surprised by how many of them. I'm gonna ask them when she comes on the show. Charmaine Ricketts. She's now the person who runs all the Uncle Remus franchise.
Right.
You know, when do you stop this from being the norm? Because how do you get to, like you say, I won't even go to this Uncle Remus. I drive to Broadview.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you can't hang out in Broadview.
Right.
Not at all.
And people in Broadview want to go outside too. So my issue is we put ourselves in these situations. Now, Pastor Parks brought up something. He just sent this in through Facebook. He said, we would be surprised to know how many of them are homeless.
Yeah.
And they might not have a place, so we don't know where they're coming from, and that's just where they go to stand all day, and we don't know where they go at night.
That's a good comment he made, because when I'm out there on Central Madison, you know, I barbecue.
Yeah, you do.
I want to do the barbecue on Sunday.
Right.
And I see how many guys come repeatedly.
And it's young folks.
And
they're young guys. They are.
And they're hungry.
Yeah, they are.
And they're not eating. They might not look like what they're going through.
Okay.
But, you know, they're hungry, and they look forward to Wednesdays because
right.
That's what we get on Wednesday. But I can imagine what they're going through throughout the week, man.
Yeah. So, and again, it ain't a slight against, and thank you, Pastor Parks. There's no slight against them for the homeless. And that's something that I didn't put in my equation. So I'm gonna sit them over here for a minute. And I'm talking about the ones that ain't. Okay,
yeah.
I'm talking about the ones that's out there working.
Yeah, they should be. But that falls back on the police department, though, because
does it?
Yes.
Okay,
Okay, just like how they chase them over there from up there,
uh-huh.
Why they can't keep doing it?
If I'm the store owner,
should be calling. We said in.
The only reason I say that is because right now they're standing up there.
Right.
And then to later on, when we get ready to go up there about 5:30, 6 o'clock, they'll be standing up there. When we leave,
they're gonna be standing up there. You go there later on tonight.
So,
they're gonna be standing
right.
up there.
So here's my deal.
Right down the street.
Here's my deal. And let me do this because people are saying they can't hear. It ain't the microphone for Facebook Live. It's Facebook Live so they can hear. So you know the microphone. Let me make sure this thing is off. The microphone for Facebook Live is just in the phone up there. It ain't got nothing to do with these mics we on. These mics are only controlling all this other stuff outside of Facebook Live. So we need to talk. Y'all need to talk up a little bit so that the phone can hear you over there.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, thank you. What if we went and had a meeting with the business owners? What if we went – because here's the deal. Because this came up yesterday, and I just found out because I guess I didn't pay attention to it. The store right there on Central and Jackson. The corner store.
Yeah.
It's closed.
Okay.
Now, I didn't know it was closed, but it's been closed down because there's too much mess going on.
Okay.
Too much stuff going on. So it's closed. And I didn't realize that. They told me, Vaughn was the one who told me Monday. So it's closed. Now, I'm not saying you should have to close your business, if it's a legit business, first of all. I ain't saying you should lose your business.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, as a business owner, just like a homeowner, there are responsibilities that you have for having property in that area.
Yes,
no
right.
different than if somebody slips and falls in front of your place of business in the wintertime because you shoveled or you didn't shovel. I forget the law. I think if you don't shovel, they just fall. They're all right.
Right.
But if you shovel and they fall, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I still don't understand that.
Yeah.
But I think that helps build the community level, the community trust together if residents – because a lot of times residents and community owners or building owners or business owners ain't from the same area. So you could live in the community and not know the guy who owns the business.
Right.
All he does is come in is all he does is get his deposit.
Right.
So my question comes back to the ownership piece. You the business owner. I'm the block club president and then I'm the police. We all say, okay, hey, look. We know we got a problem in our community. Yes, they ain't got no place to go. But then once we realize that so Columbus Park is there, but we know why they can't go to Columbus Park.
Right.
Because I'm feuding with the people.
And Columbus Park.
I can't go cross Jackson.
Right.
mm-hmm. But that's a self-inflicted thing. That ain't a legal issue.
Right.
Okay, so what do we do then? So how do we merge that? Because I'm going somewhere with this at the end, but how do we get past that? That you can't come across Jackson.
Well, we have to. I'm saying that's why we need to be in the streets more to bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm.
Have things in Columbus Park bringing everybody together.
Okay.
You know, we just can't say. Like, for instance, when we do ministry, we just can't stay in one area.
No.
We have to reach out.
Right.
So that's the thing about reaching out
mm-hmm.
and getting these guys together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of being so territorial.
Like churches. But come on.
You said it, not me.
No, I can say that. I don't
yeah.
care. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, right.
No,
but I'm just saying, though. So that's one of the things. We have to come up with something to bring everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to find a neutral ground to get them together.
Okay.
First, you got to get the people out there. To do it, you know what I'm saying? We got to get some more Jodies. We got to get some more Jodies or some more Mees out there.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
More Dangles.
Yeah. Well. So let me say this, because this is the thought that I had. How many? And you ain't got to go into details, but how many of the people? Because one part of what I you said this the last time you were on, ain't nobody in charge no more on the street.
Right.
ain't nobody in charge no more.
That's true.
But somebody is in charge of these little bitty groups at a time. Like, you got somebody in charge on this corner and somebody else running that. I mean, somebody's doing something.
Yeah, somebody doing something.
Okay. So the reason I ask the question is, how many of these people do y'all know, if any? You ain't got to go no names. I ain't saying all that.
It's hard to say because stuff changes every day.
Wow.
Stuff changes every day.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You can go and next week have your own block, your own crew. So, you know, it's about who's making the money.
It's all clicks now. It ain't like it used to be.
See, this is how I go. If you find a person
mm-hmm.
who's out there struggling,
mm-hmm.
so say, for instance,
mm-hmm.
if you need shoes, you hungry.
Right.
I put shoes on your back, I feed you.
Right.
Who you going to become loyal to?
Right.
There go my crew.
Okay.
So now, it's not like back in the old days where you had these law govern all events. Now everybody making up their own laws.
The reason I ask that question is to get back to the whole bringing everybody together piece. How do we get those guys, whoever's in charge this week, you know what I'm saying? Who's ever in charge this week, how do we get them in one room? Because I've seen what the police have tried to do, but the problem is, I don't know if the police are grabbing the right, talking to the right people.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay, come on.
The police can't help us on that talk.
That's why I'm asking you.
See, I'm going to tell you, you want to know why most of these communities are messed up?
Okay.
Because the government officials is dictating what we need or how to do what we have to do.
Right.
We're
okay.
from the streets. We know what we need to do.
Okay. So.
And from that case, they won't give me no funding.
Okay.
They want me to partner with them.
Okay.
But I can't partner with you because I'm not a sellout. You're not going to get me in a room. First we talk about this, then get me in the room and say, well, I think we should do it this way. That's
mm-hmm.
not what we talked about.
Ah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
The way we can do it, we could take the streets back, but we got to do it block at a time.
Okay. So let's deal with right here. Let's deal with Central and Madison, Central and Lake, Pine and Lake. Let's just deal right here in this little circle.
Okay. Because
you know what's happening over here.
Yeah.
Okay. And Pine and Lake has been hot for like, man, since the winter broke.
Yeah.
It's been hot right here on this between Pine and Lake and Pine and Central. Between Lake and Central. Okay. Do we know who running whatever over there? Do we have any idea?
I don't have no idea.
Wow. Because here's my question. If we could get those people in a room, and when I say in a room, I'll go as far as to say this room. Okay? If we could get those people in the room to say, okay, look, the killing first has to stop. We have to get to a point where I understand you trying to make money the way you're trying to make money. We can talk about that. But the first thing is the killing has to stop. We cannot be allowed to. Your child should be able to walk to the store, to Subway. Well, I think Dunkin' Donuts is gone now. But you should be able to go to Dunkin' Donuts when he wants to and not me hearing the ambulance and me jumping out of my seat every time I hear something pop.
Right.
Let me respond.
Come on.
With that's true, Dana, but here's how I go. Say for instance, I'm in the streets and you want me to sit down with some guys who probably have killed my brother, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. It's hard.
So therefore it's kinda hard.
Okay.
And they want they look back, so they keep going back and forth. Okay, you killed my brother, okay, I killed his cousin, they keep going back and forth.
Until everybody dead. At some point everybody's gonna be dead though.
So in order for us to get them to sit
down. It goes on to the next generation.
And for us to get them to sit down and talk. Somebody has to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
We have to change the heart and the root of the heart of one of those individuals.
Okay, so that's where the church comes in.
That's where the church comes
in. That's where the church comes in. So here is where the partnership has to happen.
Right.
You need you brothers to bring them to the table. And even before they brought them, bring them to the table, we need to have maybe some individual meetings.
Yeah.
So you know, let's just say you know or I know, you know, you killed his brother, and I know he's looking for revenge. So now I can't put y'all in the room today. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. But what I can do is have somebody reach out to you and let me talk to you to explain to you about how what's currently happening is not going to benefit you in any way, and it ain't going to bring your brother back.
Nobody wins.
Exactly. Nobody wins. And then after I talk to you, without even first telling you that I want you to meet with him, I'm talking to you so I, as the church, can get to know who you are.
Right.
To see what your mindset is. Because I know once you put the gun down and you put the weed down and the drugs down, there's still a human being underneath that.
Exactly.
So now it's my job to get to your heart, okay, mm-hmm. to see where you are. And then to say, okay, now, Jody, man, I appreciate you meeting with me. I'm going to hit you back in a couple days. I need to meet with some other people.
Right.
Then I go grab Lewis and say, okay, now, Lewis, I understand you beefing right now, and I understand the biggest beef from what I've been hearing. What you know, they say the streets talk. The streets say you trying to get this brother because he did something to your family.
Right.
Okay. Give me your side of the story. Because at the end of the day, my words to both of you all is y'all killing each other and making somebody else rich in the process.
That's it.
Two people getting rich off black on black crime. Funeral directors and the people who ship the drugs in over here. They're the only people getting rich.
And the prisons because they get paid.
Right, but I'm talking about ain't nobody getting rich. And I say this all the time. That's why I get upset sometimes because I'm like, y'all out here standing on the corner and you ain't getting rich. You out here standing on the corner so you can carry a couple of bands in your pocket and some J's. You ain't getting rich. That's not rich. Mm-hmm. Ain't no savings account with that. Ain't no medical plan with that. Ain't
right.
no, you know, your tooth get knocked out. Guess what? It's going to be knocked out because you ain't got no dental plan, bro.
Right.
Now you mad because everybody talks about your teeth, bro. So anyway, we have this conversation, and then at some point, because now we've built a rapport, and I built a rapport with you, now I can say, okay, look, brothers, we need to go out to eat. I ain't going to bring you to my office. I ain't going to bring you in here first. We're going to go out to eat. Sit down at the table, and I'm going to say, hey, you know what, Doc? I know you got some gear. Dress up for me. Put some clothes on. I know you got them. I know you got money because you're the one in charge, Chief. So, you know,
right.
put something on, and we're going to go out. We're going to have dinner. And we're going to sit down, and we're going to talk. We're going to sip a little wine. We're going to have a conversation. Yeah, y'all get over it. I said sip a little wine. Jesus drank. Get over yourself. Anyway, we're going to have a conversation about where you grew up at. Because what's going to happen is we're going to find out there's a lot more in common. There's a lot more stuff that unifies us than it is that divides us. And then we'll get to that part in the road where you decide to do your product and I decide to do mine, but it's two separate things. And now we're trying to fight for a corner that we don't own.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't pay no taxes on. And if the city wanted to, they could shut it all down.
Yeah, they can.
If they wanted to.
That's a good point you made, Daniel.
So how can we, me, you, and some other people, what do we need to do? Seriously, because y'all might not know, but y'all might know some people that know. And y'all can ask some people. And it ain't about the police at this point. It really ain't.
Right, right.
Because, see, the police come in last. Because, see, by the time you get done talking and I can get you to negotiate the whole ceasefire deal, then we come back and we say, okay, now here's the only rule.
y'all can't be outside doing what you're doing over here, because that's when it's out of my hands, and that's when the police take over. Because the police ain't, real talk, they ain't meant to be your friend. That's not,
no, they're not.
That's not legitimate. That's
they,
not,
they come and do their job.
They have a job to do, you know, and to, the best way to have them do their job and you not be affected is for you not to hinder them from doing their job. Their job is to keep the peace, protect and serve. And that's to protect and serve law-abiding citizens. So then how do you, me, how do we get to a point where we can grab these people one or two at a time, like you said, block by block. I don't, maybe we have to do that. We go block by block and say, man, look, we see what's going on. And you ask simple questions like, man, how many people have you lost to the street right now? That's going to make them think in their own head. How many people have you lost? How many kids have you lost? How many little brothers and sisters or cousins? How many funerals? One of the things that got me yesterday when I was watching our president speak, he said, I'm tired of doing these memorials. He said, 11 of them I've had to do, more than any other president in the history of the United States. He's had to do more memorial services. And then we get, you know who else we going to get? Go get somebody from Corbin Funeral Home. Tell us how many people you done buried that ain't had no insurance.
Yeah.
How many folks under the age of 30 have we put in the ground? They need to have a reality-type conversation. It ain't about, I understand they ain't got, you know, the government funding and all that. We'll get to that. But I'm talking about, because when people talk, it's hard for you to shoot me when we're sitting here having a real conversation.
Right.
It's hard for you to hate me when I'm talking about stuff that's going to affect you and your family, especially if you got kids.
Correct.
What do we do? How do we do that?
I'm going to tell you what we're working on.
Okay.
We just went up to Emmett Grammar School.
Yeah.
Start getting the glass up.
I saw that y'all cleaned up out there. I saw that.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do, mm-hmm. what we're going to do,
okay.
we're going to be up there every day for 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
reaching out to the people,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to talk to some of the pastors mm-hmm. and the community
mm-hmm.
and see can we come together
mm-hmm.
and do a big thing on a Saturday.
Okay.
When different people come in on Saturday, we're going to have teams set up to talk to them. You know, guys who
mm-hmm.
come from different areas,
mm-hmm.
we're going to set up and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we would like to do is put together a Stop the Violence basketball tournament.
Okay, okay.
But this is the key thing. When we do it, we don't want to do block against block.
Okay.
We want to get all the guys together and let them pick a team off different blocks. Because when you play ball, you have to work together.
Teamwork.
And the easiest way to do that, and this is something even in the church, to break up cliques.
Yep.
I said this in the church, to break up the groups and all that stuff, is you just get everybody get a number, and you put that number in a hat. And when you come in and you playing, you pick a number.
If
you pick one, everybody else with a one, that's your squad. Everybody else with a two, that's your squad.
Yeah.
Everybody with a two. That way you don't have the issues.
Yeah, it's
and it forces you to work together. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of ways we can do it.
Okay.
The main thing now is being visible in the streets.
Yeah.
Being visible in the streets, being out here, meeting the people in the community, talking to these young guys. Because you know what? One of them come up and say, man, I'm tired.
Yeah.
And if you grab that one out there clique,
yeah.
Out there crew,
yeah.
And show him a different way, he going to go back and tell.
All right. All right. You good?
Yeah.
All right. let's go here. So we do the marches. We out on Wednesdays. The first Wednesday we was out this year, I think as soon as we left the corner, somebody got shot. I think the second Wednesday we were out, somebody got shot right here on Central and Fulton, or shot at, rather. They didn't get shot, but got shot at right here at the bus stop on Central and Fulton. The week after that, somebody got shot on Central and Lake.
Yep.
I think that's the day you were out on the, you were on Pine and Lake, I'm sorry, on Pine and Lake that night later on. That was the day you was out because you was on live,
right.
And the sun hadn't even went down all the way. It was like in between.
Yeah.
People will say, because you have your naysayers who say, what y'all do after y'all get through marching? What y'all do after y'all get done, you know, being on the block, giving out the hot dogs and the popcorn? What do you do after that?
Well, I'm out here every day.
You are out here every day.
I'm talking to the youth. I'm talking to the elders. You know.
What's your response from the elders? Like
they love what I'm doing.
You ask them about what's going on.
What's going on, and they say they see some kind of a change. They see it's a slow process. It's changing.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them be scared for their life.
Let me speak on it. You know, most people don't understand that it costs money to do things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I give Jody credit because Jody do this on his own.
Right.
He uses his own materials. He uses his own vehicles. He do everything on his own.
Right.
So ain't nobody giving us no funding. You
okay.
know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And if we have funding, we can do a lot out in the community.
Okay. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the resource aspect because I know for a fact, and y'all might know Cornelius. I'm not sure y'all know Cornelius Parker.
Yeah, that's my buddy. I called him this morning. He'll hit me back later.
Yeah, he was on. He's been on the show a couple times.
That's my man.
And you're Westside. You're Westside too. He just happened to run a church on the South Side. But that's the same thing he talks about, his resources. He has his bike drive, and you know, people donate bikes, and I think he finally got a company. You can help me out. I think he finally got a company to help him with some bikes or something. But this is where our politicians come in, because politicians have access to the funding. Your organization is a 501c3 organization, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So we got that part out of the way, which means that if you give something, you can write it off on your taxes, whatever it is. What's been the biggest holdup when it comes to funding? Have you had meetings with people about funding?
Everybody says no funding. Or they give me this script, well, you know what, we can get you the funding, but you have to partner with us. And if I partner with them, that means I have to go with their program. Basically, that's what they're saying.
Okay.
Okay, we have money for this, but we have to do this first.
Okay. So I know a lot of times people want to partner, you know, there's this whole thing about partnering and you know, that's having a merger. But if you know anything about the corporate world, when there's a business merger, somebody's still – it's never really a merger because somebody's in charge.
Yep.
And 9 times out of 10, you know, if you're being the one – if I'm the one giving the money, then I'm going to feel like I'm the one in charge.
Yeah, let me say this too.
Come on.
And I'm very careful who I partner with.
Okay.
Because everybody has a hidden agenda. And my goal is –
so everybody got a hidden agenda, but everybody has an agenda. But go ahead.
Everybody has an agenda.
They got an
agenda.
Okay.
They want to ride with you and say, okay, that's cool.
Okay.
To get you
mm-hmm.
so they can do their agenda. And then – I would like to surround myself with people who have the passion to do it. I'm not doing it for a check.
Right.
I'm doing it because I have a passion to do it.
Ain't no check in it.
So. You know what I'm saying? I lost my cousin in 2008,
mm-hmm.
not violent. I lost my oldest son in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Then I lost a nephew in 2012. I don't want anybody to go through the pain that I went through.
Okay.
It's a domino effect. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when I sit down with people and I talk to them, and tell them what I'm trying to do and all this, they say, well, you know what, we don't have the funding for that, but if we do this,
mm-hmm.
eventually the funding will come. I said, no, I have to stick to the program, you know?
Okay, so we got this comment, and it's, I think it follows along right what you said. It says, if you take something away, even if it's illegal, what are you going to replace it with? People are going to do what they think they have to do in order to eat. People need access to education, jobs, decent housing, and health care.
We put it all out there. A person has to want that.
Okay.
And, like, when I go and I talk to the guys on the corner, I say, man, look, I'm not asking you to stop selling drugs because I don't have a job to give you.
Okay.
I'm asking you to put the guns down. So if I do come across a job,
okay,
then I will come back and ask you to put the drugs down.
All right. So we at? Let's go there. Because I've had this conversation on the corner with them brothers.
Okay.
Started last year. Right over there in front of Uncle Remus.
Okay.
You know, and you know, actually we did it over there. And then 2 years ago, before I started doing with 100 Blocks Under Churches, we had this thing over on was it Chicago Avenue and Holman, where we were, I think it was. It was 100 men on the corner or something like that.
Okay.
And we were on, I think it was Kesley and Chicago Avenue or something like that. And thank you, Chicago Avenue and Holman. So we took over that whole area. Now, it's hot over there.
You right. Know?
And the bros came up to us and said, man, how long y'all going to be out here? And I was like, well, bro, we're going to be here. Y'all messing up our money. That was literally the conversation. Now, he started letting me just ask the question. I said, bro, you know, we're probably going to be out here until about midnight. He's like, all right. And they stood there for a while. You saw a couple of customers walk up, realize they couldn't do nothing because police was sitting over here in the car. So, they, you know, he couldn't buy it. He couldn't sell. He couldn't do nothing. So then, a few minutes passed, one guy left, one guy came back, and I asked the brother. I said, man, I should ask you a question. And they said, I ain't asking you to stop doing nothing. I said, I just want to ask you a serious question. if you could get a job tomorrow, would you take it? And his response to me was, he said, is it going to put $1,500, am I going to walk away with $1,500 in cash, and I only got to work out here for 3 hours?
Let
me tell you what I told him. I said, probably not. I said, but the difference is, where the job that I may have for you, ain't nobody going to try to kill you at that job. You ain't got to look over your back, over your shoulder at that job.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? You get some health benefits, and you start building a credit history and all of this other kind of stuff. And now when you go to buy a car, they ain't got to tell the IRS that you came in here with $9,999.
Right.
We know the trick. They check that now. They check that too now, goofy. But you ain't got to do that.
Right.
You know, you can actually come in there with an actual check, with a checking account and all of this stuff. You know, you ain't got to ask.
Legit.
He was like, that's not realistic for me.
And you know why? Because they just live in that moment.
That, thank you.
They don't see the bigger picture.
They don't see tomorrow.
But see, it's like this. It became a lifestyle to them.
Okay.
Anything you do from a period of time becomes a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're used to until they get introduced to it. Like I had one guy I talked to, and that's all he did. Now he got a job. He said, man, it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
I can ride past the police. I got a check stub.
Right. Right.
I got my license now. You know what I mean?
Right.
He said, makes me feel good. He said, I got something. If I get hurt, I can retire.
Right.
He said, you've been saying this for the longest. I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to really sit back and evaluate myself. See, some people need to do a self-check and see if this is what they really want. And a lot of time is just keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I got $1,500. Let me go get the red bottoms, or you know, whatever.
Right.
Or you know, I got this. I can get a little mama now because I got this bankroll.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
They got to understand. One day that's gonna go.
That's temporary.
Okay. So then they doing that when they turn 50 or 60.
Mm-hmm.
Now they gotta go get a job.
With no experience.
No experience.
No resume.
It ain't happening.
Okay.
I got another question for you.
Come on. What's your question?
I got a question.
Here you go. You gonna ask me a question? I'm doing interviews. Come on.
I just want you to help me with something.
Go ahead. Come on.
How is it people can set up a GoFundMe?
GoFundMe page.
For a trip.
Okay.
People so into it.
Okay.
A GoFundMe for a funeral. I understand people so into it.
Okay.
But when you come to them and say you're trying to save a life, they won't give a dime.
You want the real answer?
Yeah.
Because honestly, we are, and I'm gonna talk about my people.
Okay.
Us, this kid, color folk, you know, light skin, dark skin, but us.
Okay.
Sometimes we can really be crabs in the barrel.
Uh huh.
We don't like to see other people succeed, and it's unfortunate, but we're the only community that does that to each other. So rather than help you out, I want to do better than you. Rather than help you out, and then because I can't see it, because here's the deal. Even though it's a GoFundMe page and we know what it's for, and here's the deal, and if you don't know what GoFundMe is, GoFundMe, GoFundMe. It's a page you can set up your charitable org. It's not even for just charity organizations. I can create a GoFundMe page right now and say, hey, y'all, I want to go to Jamaica, and I ain't got enough money, and can y'all help a brother out and put up some pictures saying I ain't never been to Jamaica before.
And they gonna do it.
And I'll get a few people to donate a couple dollars. Because of that, people are hesitant to give anything to anybody because there's been so many organizations, and you know this, that have screwed people out of money. We were talking about one before we went on the air.
Yeah.
There's been so many Christian organizations that have misused funds. So people are untrusting when you start asking them for money. Politicians have either screwed people out of money or they've come to find out that a church that they partnered with screwed people out of money. I'll give you a very good example. I don't know the gentleman's name because if I did, I would call it on this here airwaves. But we had a daycare center here at this church. And this guy, whoever he was going around to different churches, opening up daycare centers. And he was getting government funding. We still waiting on the check. Daycare center closed. Had people here working. Never paid them.
Wow.
He did this in several churches on the west side of Chicago. I can't remember the dude's name, because if I did, I'd call it. Y'all know I don't care. But he did this several times. And so now here you come with a legit organization. We see you. This is what I tell you. What you're doing needs to continue to happen, and we need to continue to blow it up. And it needs to get blown up to the point where, and it's so funny if you said that. I was watching, I watched it last night for the first time. Barbershop 3.
Okay.
Barbershop 3. Okay, so you know that whole thing was trying to stop the violence.
Right.
And one of the things that one of the guys in the barber kept saying is, we need somebody big to see it and back it, or not even back it, just push it.
Right.
Just put their name behind it and say, man, look, hey, these brothers out there. That's probably what it's going to take. You're doing what's necessary by constantly being out there. Every time there's something going on, I don't know if y'all don't follow. If y'all don't follow George or Jody on Facebook, y'all need to. Go to George Jody Baby, Facebook.com, find dude on there. Every time there's something out happens, you're out there with your squad.
Right.
You guys are always out there. Even when y'all are out there before 100 church, 100 block, 100 churches even get started. We don't start until June. Y'all out there in May.
We are April.
Soon as the weather breaks. And if it was possible, y'all would probably be out there in the winter.
we try to.
I'm just saying, you know, even it's kind of hard. To, you know, what I think to answer your question, some people, because it's a lot of it is trust issues, and it's unfortunate with our people, because here's the other side of it, and I know I'm gonna get in trouble with my Caucasian friends, but please don't be offended. Somebody Caucasian could come in. Same stuff you got on. Start a program, and he can get 10 churches to back him in a minute.
Yep.
He'll get 10 churches to back him in a minute. And that goes back to our mentality of, well, I'm going to trust him because, you know, he used to be in the game, so I'm kind of nervous about giving him my money.
Hey,
I mean,
let's pull up their pad.
Hey, the difference is you put yours on Front Street. We know who we're dealing with.
Yeah.
The reason I come out and support is because I'd rather, and here's my deal, and I preached this one time. If I want to get somebody to work in my drug ministry, I need somebody who's probably been addicted to drugs or got some family members that's been addicted to drugs. If I want to get somebody to work in my marriage ministry, I don't need you because you had the perfect marriage. I need you because you had a bad one or you had some ups and downs. To work with some people in the marriage ministry. If I want some people to work in my food shelters and my food pantries, I need some folk who know what it's like to be hungry, so they can empathize with the people that's coming in line, and they ain't cussing you out and telling you what line to stand in and talking about you while you're in line.
Right.
So if I'm gonna deal with some people in my street ministry, I'm gonna need somebody who know them people.
Right.
And who better to do that than people? I mean, I'm sorry. Who you want to coach your basketball team? You want you to go to the basketball team, or Jordan show up? You want?
I'm gonna go with Jordan.
and it ain't because I tell you like this. I ain't got to go with Jordan. It's Judge Bushler. Y'all remember Judge Bushler? Y'all don't know who that is, do y'all? He was one of the white dudes on one of them championship teams for the Bulls.
The Bulls. Yeah.
But he played in the NBA.
Right.
I'm gonna take his skill. I go get him to coach the team, because at least I know he has the experience. So we black folk, we got to get past this. Folk look shady, and I don't really know where the money going and all that stuff.
They're not to cut you off.
Go ahead, come on.
But you know they'll pop up when the madness hit their doorstep, though.
Yeah.
You
know? So they hit home.
When they hit home,
they calling me. They want me to bring everything. Bring
you know
everything.
I almost want to agree with you. Oh.
And I'm saying they see the work, man, brother. That's a good job you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I say, okay, well, just since y'all scared to come out. Give me $5 to support the ministry so I can stay in the street.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I had one lady tell me, oh, I don't donate to the cause. When we was on Chicago Avenue in Lockwood, she showed up with her two kids,
mm-hmm.
her three grandkids, mm-hmm. and her neighbor kids, and asked me what a hot dog is. And I told her, you didn't donate, so we didn't get none.
not to knock. Let me give you an example, but not to knock Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
We feel all lives matter.
Okay.
But we understand their mission.
Yeah.
But they come out after the fact. They come out after something tragic has happened.
Yeah.
Then you want to complain. We don't. We out there in the midst of it before it happens
and after. Before, during, and after.
Right.
Yeah. We even like, if something happened, I get a chance to meet the family, and I talk to them, we'll show up to the funeral with our red T-shirts on to get them support.
So let's all right. And I know y'all listening and watching. Son, you watch the email because I ain't seen nothing. Okay, thank you. If you're out there doing what you're doing, let's talk about the successes that you've had because it's easy to talk about the problem. So let's give people some examples of some of the successes that your program has had. You ain't got to get nobody's name because
okay,
you're going to bash nobody, but just some of the people you guys have worked with and some lives that you've seen change because of what you all are doing.
Well, I'm going to say this. All my volunteers that's with me, I've seen their lives change.
Okay, talk about it.
Okay. They're show a lot of love. They have the time, and now they're having the same passion that I have for the community and for the youth.
Okay.
Then also by being on Madison, I had a young lady come up to me. At the time, she was pregnant, and the doctor said she was going to lose the baby. She threatened a miscarriage, so she asked for prayer.
Okay.
We prayed for her. She called me. She said, well, the doctor told me I got to hold this baby for another 6 hours or I can lose the baby. And I told her, your 6 hours was 6 hours ago.
Okay.
The baby is doing fine.
Okay.
She's doing fine. Just being out there since it started, we had 12 people get their life to Christ.
Let's talk about that because I've witnessed some of those. I've been out there and I've seen them. And I think this is the part that I need my church folk to get a hold of. Y'all might be scared of the corner. You might not know what to say to the folk on the corner. But let me go here. If somebody walk up to you on the street corner. The person that walks up on the street corner and gives his life to Christ ain't going to be the same person that walks in your church. Because, first of all, he ain't going to come to your church because that's inconvenient for him at the time.
Exactly.
That's inconvenient for him. You don't hear me, but that's inconvenient. But the person who comes on the street corner and walks up to somebody with a red shirt on and says, can one of y'all pray for me? Y'all don't understand how that changes somebody's life right there at that moment. It's easy for you in your church when you got your nice suit on and somebody walk down the aisle and say, I'm here for prayer. Okay, that person is brave enough to walk down the aisle. Everybody ain't brave enough to walk down the aisle. But if you're outside where I'm at, and I'm walking that way anyway, ain't no, and I decide, hey, well, you know what? I ain't got nothing else to lose. I might as well stop and ask one of these brothers to pray for me. You don't recognize the opportunity that we're missing as a church by not participating. Let's say y'all don't get no money to this. And they stopping you from coming out and participating. Right. You still could be a part of the mission. You could still be a part of the solution, but y'all won't even come out and do that. You'd rather stand on the corner in front of your church because that's comfortable, even though we just got through talking about being uncomfortable. But you want to stand on the church, the corner in front of your church, or not at all, or you want to ignore the situation.
Right.
That's why I said I almost agreed with you earlier when you said, wait until they come on their doorstep. Well, as a member of this church and knowing some of these other churches, damn it, it's already on our doorstep. It's already on the doorstep, and they still ain't moving.
In all the churches, we have
we
like,
still ain't moving.
We had, what, like three pastors on our corner?
Three. We get the same. Now, I don't know if dude with the mic is he a pastor. The dude that's always had the microphone is out there.
Speak first?
Yeah, he, no, I know about Stevenson. I'm talking about the one that's still on the mic, Chris.
He's a minister.
He's just a minister.
He's a minister.
Okay, so it's two pastors out there then.
That's it.
Two.
How many churches in his area?
Over 200. This is what I'm saying. It's on the doorstep, and so it's kind of hard. I mean, how much further do we need to get beyond doorstep? We need to come in the door now.
See.
It's about to happen. And I said this. It's going to take, and I hate to say it, and I pray to God I'm wrong. But it's going to take a South Carolina-like situation to happen in Chicago for us, and when I say us, meaning the churches, to get our acts together. And it shouldn't take somebody walking into a church, shooting up everybody in the church to get the churches to act. But I promise you this, let somebody walk up into any one of these churches, shoot a bunch of people. You're going to get a pastor from around the corner, and everywhere else, have his behind over here in front of the camera. Y'all know I ain't lying. He will have his blessed assurance over here. I'm going to steal that from Pastor Henderson. He will have himself sitting over here talking about anything I can do to help, Doc. No, Doc, you can help now. But so what I'm saying is, you know, we're talking about we needed to, it needed to happen on their front doorstep. It's happening on our front doorstep. We've had people shot. Matter of fact, in our alley right here, during choir rehearsal, our people were leaving and had to run back in the door because somebody shooting at somebody down the alley and then had to stay and wait for the police to collect evidence. So choir rehearsal ended at 8:30. They didn't get to leave until 11. Then we had it up here. Then there was people shot over in front of Mount Mars Hill Baptist Church. People shot over there. People shot over here on down the street over there, like Laramie and Jackson. It's a church over there.
Yep.
Friendship,
yep.
Baptist Church. All these churches have the same amount of crimes happening, and yet none of y'all, this might be my last show, none of y'all come out on the street where the community has asked us to come. Let me make sure I'm specific in that. Because the community has given us designated areas that they feel we need to be. Now, I know you want to do your own thing, and I'm not talking about older seniors, but let me move even beyond that. You know how many, and that's why I always make sure I take the videos and I tag y'all in the videos when we out there doing Facebook Live. How many children do you see out there?
Only a lot of kids.
Boatloads. Boatloads.
So sometimes I count the bags of popcorn I give away.
Okay.
Sometimes I give away 250 bags.
Wow.
You know, the count on the hot dog is 180.
160 to 200 hot dogs.
Yeah, and we're short. And we be short.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So then again, people got to realize who the church is. That's the problem.
It ain't the building.
I got a question. I got a question for both of y'all. I got an answer for
another interview over here. Come on.
But what do y'all think are some of the reasons why the pastors won't reach out or come out to the streets?
Tradition.
You think it's traditional?
Traditional. That's all they know. That's what they used to.
Not coming out.
Yeah. They come in. They had it.
But when I was raised up, all the churches used to come out. And we used to respect those churches because we felt like
they were involved.
They was involved and they cared about us. They used to come out, have basketball things for us, give us food and stuff like. We thought they cared about us.
And let me say this: a lot of your pastors is not from this community. So they don't know the heartbeat of this community.
That's what I wanted to hear.
So when they come in and do their service, they go home to Bellwood, Broadview, Bolingbrook. That's why a lot of guys on the streets be like, such and such pastor come out here. We don't want him out here. He ride past us. We can't come to this church for nothing. I'm like, what you mean you can't come to this church for nothing? So he had programs. He tell us it's just for his church. You know. So when you don't have the heartbeat, like us, let's go back with the passion. We had a passion to do this, to do this. So that's why I say it's a difference between somebody downtown come over here and try to do what we do. They can't do it, and it won't be effective. And that's the main problem.
I'll answer your question.
Here we go.
They were calling you all people. Cowards. No, seriously. And not cowards being fearful of the street, cowards about getting involved because it might cost them something somewhere else.
Oh.
I know for a fact there are preachers, pastors, who have good relationships with the city. And because they have good relationships with the city, they ain't going to stand out and protest bad cops. They ain't going to stand out and complain about what's going on because if I stand out and protest, I'm gonna lose my relationship.
Yep.
If I stand out and protest, y'all let me double park. My people can double park their cars. Now y'all going to start putting tickets on them.
Yet you say you're a follower of Christ.
I'm just trying to tell you the truth. That's why, or the other part is, I don't even know what to do. And I'm too arrogant to humble myself to say, okay, I don't know what to do, but the little church up the street do, so let me go and partner with them. I ain't going to do that because now it's going to make me look weak. My mindset is it's going to make me look weak as a pastor because I'm not humble enough to say I don't know how to do this. You got a lot of pastors. You got a lot of churches. Let me say this. Congregations who probably will come out and help if they saw their pastor do it.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this before. I ain't never been in the Army. Don't know nothing about it. But I know a lot of people who have been. I played football. I know what it's like to be on the team. The coach can talk all day long. But it's the dude who breaking that line before me, that linebacker that's hitting before me, that's keeping, you know, that, you know, to keep us DBs in the back, keep us pretty. This, you know, them dudes up front, if they say we going to war and I see you struggling, I'm going out there too. But if I never see you out there, and then when I say out there, I mean out there, not out there in your comfort zone, surrounded by people who you know, just my church members.
Engaging, that's what you're saying. Engaging.
Engaging people.
Yeah.
If your church members saw that, think about this. If you take Truth and Deliverance up there, Madison and Lambert. You take Mars Hill over there.
Uh-oh.
You take Kingdom here. You take Friendship Baptist over there. And you get them four pastors, them four, because they're all in the Austin community. You get them four pastors out on the corner all the time, or at least rotating enough, and their members saw them out there all the time, them numbers would increase instantly.
Yeah.
Because now people were like, well, wait a minute. We need to be out there because we don't want our pastor out there by itself.
Yeah.
So instantly you would get 10, 15, 20 more people. And then it will start to spread. But because I don't see leadership out there, I ain't going. If leadership don't feel like it's our problem, then it ain't our problem.
Right.
Because guess what? We come to church, the lights on, we got good air conditioning, we get good singing, we get good food, we go home, we good to go. So, yes, I drive through the problem, but it really ain't my problem.
That's how they look at it.
That's why they're not out there. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do, and some truly don't know what to do. Some are too arrogant to do it. You have others that just don't care. And that's just the truth. And y'all can get mad. Y'all know where I am. This is my address ain't changed. The website ain't changed. Well, the address might change. Might get put up out of here. But that's just the truth. I'm just saying. This is where we are, and nobody wants to have that honest conversation. That same conversation, I put this out there, and I asked a prominent pastor in this community. I said, can we get four or five of y'all here? I said, I'll host it. Y'all can come up here just to put you all's heads together on how we can better be effective in the community. Don't happen. And then you wonder why the church doesn't grow. And I mean the church proper doesn't grow. You wonder why there's so much violence in the Austin community, but we got 200-plus churches. It don't even make sense. Because you would think, oh, that church, that's a lot of Holy Ghost. And y'all still shooting again? And that's why people look at us like crazy. You know, with all the gun stuff that happened over the last few weeks, everybody knows this. You know, if you haven't been listening to the show a while, everybody knows I am a patriotic person when it comes to the right to bear arms. I believe you should be able to carry you a weapon, and I believe that 100%, and I have been a legal gun owner for 20-plus years. Everybody and mama know that. Let me talk about this. One of the things that the National Rifle Association likes to say about the city of Chicago and how they always jump on our president is they say he want to enact all these gun laws, but the city of Chicago has the worst gun violence in the world. And we got more gun laws in Chicago than anybody else. But it ain't the people with the legal guns that's doing the shooting.
Exactly.
How do we get people to recognize it ain't the church folk that you need? I said that to say this. It ain't the church folk that you need to be saving. They say. They didn't get their life to Christ. So they good. It's the ones on the outside.
Yeah.
That you got to get to. So I said this too. I think the community, y'all want to protest them folks, Black Lives Matter. Y'all want to protest them folks? Stop protesting these churches that don't do nothing.
Yeah.
See, that I know that don't sound right.
Let them come out.
I know that don't sound right. Y'all pray for me. But but
come out.
Start knocking on the door and saying, hey, we having something, and we request your attendance, pastor, bishop, apostle, whoever. We request your attendance because the only way you're going to enact change is to go to the power brokers. They may not have a lot of power, but they have the power in that room, in those sanctuaries.
Right.
And you as community stakeholders have the right to ask them, what the hell are you doing in my community other than showing up on Sunday and an occasional Wednesday? What are you doing? We have the right to demand that as people in the Austin community. That's our absolute right. Because we would demand that of a store. When in certain communities, if they don't want a liquor store in their community, guess what? You can't open it. You can't open it. Churches, you can put one anywhere. We don't care if you ain't really teaching the word of God or not. It say church on it. We'll let you open it. And you never have a real aspect in the community at all. Nothing. So with brothers like you, if you, and this is why I say this, I know your church is backing you, your church helps you, but they can only do so much.
Right.
They can only do so much. But you're not working out there for Word Works Ministry. That ain't why you out there.
Right.
You ain't out there with them. That's you're under that umbrella, but that ain't you, but the community that you go to ain't just those people. You're going to communities where all of these church members have some sort of connection to. In all of these different 200-plus churches in Austin, you're in all of those areas, which means every church, even if they can't financially support you, they can support you with some bodies.
Yeah.
Give me somebody to help take these tents down. Okay, guess what? You ain't got no money for no hot dogs? Man, guess what? We got some gas cars. We can get you a gas car to put some gas in the generator. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Little bitty stuff.
Just come out. Ask us what we need. You don't have to give us none. Come out and ask us what we need. You go pay for it.
You know what I find out, though? Because it's not their idea,
mm-hmm.
and they're not in charge, they don't even want to be a part of it.
Well, I've had that said to me from a pastor in this community. Y'all don't need us at the table. Y'all set the table, then maybe once y'all get it together, then I'll show up.
It's too late. We don't need you then.
That's the part they don't understand.
It's too late. We up and rolling.
And now we can't be, because that's Christians.
No, I'm saying
we
don't need you at the table. We
right.
still use you.
We can use
you. But don't think you're going to come in and get what everybody at the table getting. That's what I mean.
Absolutely.
You got to start from the bottom.
Right. You have to show yourself. You have to come in and prove yourself.
Yeah.
And sitting inside your pulpit in your cushy air-conditioned office ain't proving yourself.
It ain't going to help.
Wow.
It ain't going to help.
Yeah.
So we just need to get a list of these churches.
We got a list.
Okay, I need to start doing some drive-bys and going by them, engaging them.
It's been done, and it needs to be done again and again and again. And what we need to do is, and I'll say this, and that's why I love this platform, because I ain't beholden to nobody. You know, ain't nobody funding this. So they don't get to say what we can and can't.
Right.
You know, I tell you right now, and I'm going to say this, and I know this body ain't going to go over well, so I can have a member of the Ku Klux Klan come in here, and if I want to have a conversation with him, I can, if he wouldn't sit here, as long as he don't say nothing ignorant. But I'm just saying, I can get whoever to sit down and talk with if I think there's going to be some progress made.
Right.
Because I'm not beholden to any particular organization. I don't have to, you know, do all, and that's the problem. So many of us are beholden. And I'll give you a good example. The president we have now, and I really won't get in trouble, the president we have now ain't the same president we had 8 years ago, when he first got in office. He was, you know, he was more politically correct because he had to get reelected.
Right.
You know, he needed that money to come in to the Democratic National Committee and all that stuff. Now, if you notice when he talked, he really don't care no more. He don't really care about
his way out. He's okay, this bankroll.
What I'm saying, he ain't beholden no more, so now he's being a little bit more truthful. He's being a little bit more open, so to speak.
Yeah.
I appreciate what you said about not use the word sellout, which is fine, but you're not compromising the organization just to be partnered with somebody so you can get their funds.
Right.
Because you should not compromise it. Because if God gave you an uncompromised vision, yeah, y'all write this down. Now. If he gave you an uncompromised vision, you don't compromise it for anybody.
Right.
Because that was not what he gave you. If he said, Jody, this is it, this is what you do, and if I gave it to you, it's going to be provided for. What you can't do is try to help out the situation by partnering with somebody that God never intended you to partner with.
Right.
So the person you're going to partner with is already there. Y'all just ain't met yet. Or y'all just ain't crossed paths yet. Or that person still needs a little bit longer to buy into the process. So this is what I tell you, and I tell you this just like they talk about Nehemiah in the Bible. Stay on the wall. Stay on the wall. Don't compromise who you are. You don't have to patronize people. You don't have to kiss anybody's behind to make them a part of the project. You want passionate people to be a part of your project. You want passionate people to be out on the street with you. It's just like with evangelism. Everybody can't go out and tell people about that ain't everybody's gifted.
Right.
That's not everybody's gift. So some people might just be financial backers because you have people. I give a very good example. There's three of us, four of us actually, that are the main components of this show. Okay. One of them you'll never see. He said, I just help out in the background. I ain't going to try to make y'all change y'all format.
Right.
I just want to be a part of it because I like what it is. You'll never see him on. If you see him on camera, it's because we drugged him and put him up here. And he's a little bigger than all of us, so he ain't going to get drugged nowhere. But I'm just saying, you'll never see. But he understands that. You will find somebody that way as well who might say, you know what? I like what this is, and that's what it is. Do you have anybody that writes grants in your?
I'm in working on it, trying to get somebody
to write a grant.
But everybody I run into, a scam.
To write. Okay, so you don't have a grant writer.
I don't have a grant writer.
Because what you need, and maybe somebody out there can help out. I know we know some, but, you know, people lazy. But you need somebody to write you a grant. Because, see, that grant then gets taken into – that grant gets sent out to people who ain't got nothing but money and looking for some place because they're looking for a tax write-off.
Okay.
So you'll get some dude who's sitting on 400-500 G that he need to get rid of for tax purposes to say, just give me some paperwork and show me what you're doing and write out what the processes is. I want to see your successes, your failures, what your plans are, what you see your organization doing this from this point 3 years down the line. And once somebody sees that stuff on paper, that person will say, you know what? This looks like something I can put 25 G's behind. And they will write a check, and you'll never hear from them about changing your program. They will just, because that's what those people do.
Okay.
So on that side, and this is probably what's hindering you. I'm going to give you some info. A lot of businesses who want to give, they need to see all that. It's easy for me to see. Now, social media is great. It's a great start. But business-minded people want to see, as a buddy I like to watch on Facebook, they want to see receipts. And I'm not saying receipts of money you spent. They want to see receipts of progress.
Okay.
So they want to see progress, and they want to see that. So, you know, a little bit of simple stuff. Like, I'll give you a very good example. I went to a fundraiser. For the school that she works at, and I did the music for them. And it's a charter school. Charter schools are all privately funded.
Right.
What they did was, it was their anniversary from their kindergarten class. All of their students from their kindergarten class had finally reached eighth grade, and they had this huge thing up at Garfield Park, and they had the whole thing up there. They rented it out. It was all nice, and they had all of their donors come in.
Mm-hmm.
And they created a video, and the video showed all of the kids from kindergarten all the way up to eighth grade. They had been documenting it, and all these kids, not talking about what high schools they're going to and all of this stuff and how this particular school changed their life and how involved they were, how happy they were with the teachers and all kinds of stuff. You know what happened in that? So after they showed this video, because I played it on the big screen for them, had the projector up and everything, after they played it, the majority of them being white folks, went in their pockets and start writing checks. They was like, hey, you know, we take this trip to the civil rights movement down in Memphis. We take a trip down there every year, and it costs X amount of dollars, and we need this many buses. Lady, put a hand up.
How many buses?
We need hotel rooms. How many rooms?
That's what we need.
So a lot of times it's the marketing aspect.
Okay.
It's the marketing aspect. So we'll work on it. We'll work on it. But we got about 5 minutes, about 6 minutes left in here. Is that right? Yeah, 6 minutes. So we good. So tonight we'll be on the corner.
6 p.m.
What time y'all get out there? Y'all get out there a little early because y'all got to set up.
About
5:30. So look, Central and Madison, they up on Central and Lake. They on Central and Division. They on Central and Chicago Avenue. They on Division and It's Division and something else.
Mayfield.
Division and Mayfield, up the block a little bit. Then we on Laramie and Adams. That's in the 15th district. In the 11th district, they on Kedzie and Lake. They own Madison and Central Park, if I'm not mistaken, because the 11th District trying to pick up their, you know, right, do their stuff now. So
yeah, I'm doing some with them also.
Let me know, because that's what I call Mama.
This Friday we're gonna be on Harrison and Costner, 9 o'clock, a.m.
Really?
And yep. Tonight for the first time,
mm-hmm.
we're gonna have two local rappers coming out.
I saw that. So who are the two rappers? I forgot to pull that up.
Chad London and,
uh-huh.
and Victor Basardo.
Okay.
They're both coming out. They go both gonna sing one of their tracks, and they put together "Stop the Violence" track for Chicago as well.
Cool. That's awesome.
We called on them and they came immediately.
That's good. That's good. So man, look, if you guys wanna come out, you wanna help, where can they donate to?
www.jehovah.org.
Okay, and I put that's in the link for today's show. So all y'all who are on the page, it's already up there, www.jehovahjireh1.org. If you want to donate something, man, look, a couple dollars buy some hot dogs, a couple dollars buy some ice, a couple dollars buy some juice for the snowballs. Couple dollars buys butter for the popcorn. Couple dollars buys popcorn. Couple dollars buys gas for the generator. And if you haven't, you know, go to my page. Go to Jody's page. Friend George Bates. Friend Lewis Chamberlain. Go there. Check them out. And we know what we need to do, and we need to work on that. And maybe y'all can talk to Tanya about that. She's the guru. But y'all, you know, we need to start doing the broadcast from the page and putting the page out there so people can see the page, and then they start to go to the page instead of individuals. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
People want to see that. So that's something to do. Man, look at y'all. It's been wonderful. We appreciate it. I appreciate you guys for coming in, man. It's been fun.
Thank you, man.
It's been fun. Hopefully y'all didn't get me put off. But, but man, it was good. We're going to be out in the street. It's been good. It's stopped by. Y'all can buy these hats and T-shirts, too, right?
Yeah.
Where can we get that?
Inbox me, and I'll give you the information about it.
Inbox him, inbox me, inbox Lewis. Inbox somebody if y'all interested in getting either one of these T-shirts, the hats.
Stand up and show
them Yeah, show them the shirt, man. Okay, stand up, show them the shirt. Y'all see the shirt. Stop the violence. I should have grabbed the one I got, because we got one over here. You gave us one the last time you was here. Yeah, you got the wristband, all of that. So,
coming to a neighborhood near you.
You're right, coming to a neighborhood near you. So anyway, look, we're going to pray real quick. Father God, we just thank you for the time we've had, God. We thank you for grace. God, we thank you for your protection, God. We thank you for the time that we've had. God, we thank you for these two brothers who are standing on the wall for you, God. We thank you for their courage, God. And right now we ask that you would multiply their courage and let some of that fall fresh on the other leaders in this community, God. We ask that you would use them to be examples and let them be the beacons that draw the other leaders to the fight, God. So we ask that you would continue to bless them, God. Bless the efforts of the Stop the Violence movement, God. Bless the efforts of Jehovah Jireh One Ministries, God. Bless the efforts of their church, God, the man of God that he sits under, the woman of God there. We ask that you continue to bless them, God. Bless our police in this community, God, because we know they're trying to do a good thing. But we ask you to continue to give them the wisdom and the knowledge to do that as well. God, we thank you for this platform. I thank you for every listener. I hope I didn't miss any emails or calls. We were talking. We just had a good time. So, God, we thank you for them. We bless you. We lift your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all be blessed, man. Look, I'm going to leave y'all with a little bit. It's, y'all know it's Spring Friday coming up on Friday. So I might as well go and give y'all a little bit of that now and call it a day. And we out of here. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO.
A lot of things I could not do for myself, but he did them for me. Tell somebody, he is wonderful. I brought my own shout with me. I just thought about it. I dare you to think about how wonderful he is. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Look at somebody, say the Everlasting Father. Somebody just holler, wonderful. I told y'all that was the word of the year. Look to your right and your left, say wonderful. May your week be wonderful. May the rest of your year be wonderful. May your whole life be. Point, but is there anybody that has proven himself to be wonderful? just go to about three people and say, he is wonderful.
He's wonderful. Wonderful.